Welcome to part two of your solar return. That is birthday reading. Happy birthday, belated, though it may be. All right, so where to from here? Let's talk Jupiter. Let's talk a little Jupiter and start with that. All right. What do you do with all this, like, energy? All of this space that you contain? Space is intelligence. Remember that. When inner space opens, intelligence opens. When you have a space to work, you have a space to express your intelligence. Groom your space to match your temperament. And the space that Jupiter is describing is an art studio. The space that Jupiter is describing is a kind of an externalization of a space that is not strictly a public space or a private space. So art studio is a very interesting kind of a space. So you may not literally have an art studio or be an artist, but follow along here on the concept of a space where you work and express, experiment, innovate, whatever that means to you, have fun, do things that, you know, do in the living room or the kitchen or the bedroom. That's the art studio. I think everybody should have an art studio of some kind, a space that they devote to their creative process, a space that is theirs, which seems to be a space of external creation, but is a really a space of self-creation. And personally, I've become fond of experimenting with some of the tools of visual art. I've been more of a photographer and designer, and lately I've been dropping in regularly at the art supply store on my street. And, you know, for $1.50, you can get a pastel. $2, you can get a colored pencil. If you do that a few times a week, after a while, you've got a nice collection. So I don't really have a painting studio, but I've got this little tray full of pencils and pastels and all kinds of other things, erasers and razor blades to kind of make collages with or trim things. And that's my little portable art studio. And it's a place in my mind, is what I'm getting at here. It's not just a physical object that is on my desk, which is where I like to keep it when my desk is neat enough. That art box, ever-changing, growing, colors evolving and morphing, is a place in my mind, as is the art studio that I'm talking about for you. It's a place in your mind, and it's a place that wants a physical location of some kind. It might be a desk, a room, a table, a corner, a mode of your kitchen table, an attic, a basement room, a porch, now that the weather's getting warm up here in hemisphere the north. And the reason I say this is because Jupiter is in residence, the artist in residence, in your fifth house, Leo. And that is an invitation to have fun, an invitation to experiment, an invitation to express what? Well, Jupiter, among other things it does in society and consciousness and astrology charts, is it expresses Pisces. And you've got a lot of Pisces going on. You have an ocean of Pisces in the form of, again, you know, Nessus and Vesta and Neptune and Borsisi and Chiron and Hera, all gathered, and many other things there too, in Pisces. And we're talking about the inner ocean of consciousness that that represents. Well, that inner ocean has a kind of a representative in the world. And that representative is Jupiter, because Jupiter is the classical, traditional, time-honored ruler of Pisces. And so where Jupiter goes, you get a kind of a delegate of Pisces, or you get a portable expression of Pisces. And where you have Jupiter now is in the perfect place, the fifth house, because what better place to express qualities of the fifth house, of the 12th house, the vast interior imagination, but in some form of experimental or creative process. Now, the 12th and the 5th have something else interesting in common, which is their eroticism. The 12th is the house of quite magnificent capacity to imagine, to make fantasy, to tell stories, to experiment with scenarios, to imagine the possibilities, to let yourself get really turned on by existence, by consciousness. And the fifth is the place to play, to explore, to seek experience of those things in the 12th house. It's kind of an interesting esoteric relationship between these two houses that is, I can't imagine I've ever seen it in an astrology book. If I did, I may have picked this up by inference. You know, sometimes astrologers hint at things that they don't say, or they're saying something that they're not intending to say, but then you draw an inference. This is one of the useful things about astrology textbooks, is that they say more than they say. And the 12th has this propensity toward the imaginational sphere of sex, and the 5th house has a tendency toward the experiential sphere. And they, of course, relate. So the relationship is the relationship between fantasy and experience. And you're fortunate in that the 5th house is the house where there is an experimental quality to it. There's other houses where sex is described. For example, the 8th house. The 8th house doesn't have such an experimental quality to it. The 8th house kind of wants what it wants till it doesn't want it anymore. And it kind of always goes toward some type of bonding or commitment. And the 5th is a more playful place. It's a more experimental place. There is more room to stretch into curiosity without the sense of imposing overbearing commitment in some way. Have to be careful, because certain activities of the 5th can lead to the 8th, like pregnancy. So when you're experimenting, you know, make sure that your procreative creation has your consciously agreed upon limits that you then take control of using science and common sense. By that, which I mean, you know, the appropriate method of birth control if that activity is sex. But if the activity is art, it's going to be sex and art. I mean, that's pretty clear at minimum, and likely to be some, hey, let's do something that seems really dangerous, like go paragliding or something like that. But let's keep to sex and art for the moment. There's a lot you can do. There is a whole, conduit of energy that you can open up by invoking the fifth house. You don't even have to be aware of all that stuff I was talking about, that room that you've got back there with Chiron, Neptune, Borsisi, Nessus, Vesta. Wow, plenty going on there in Pisces. You could just do what you do, the creative experimentation that you do, and all of that Pisces is going to come rushing in through Jupiter into this very energetic experiment, lived with the pleasure of a child. That's the feeling of the fifth house, that sense of freedom combined with the sense that play is work and work is play is a fifth house feeling. It's not exactly serious, but it's focused, and it can have that serious streak in the way that children play and can be very serious, but they're playing. It's experimentation. And taking your own imagination as real is an experience of the fifth, especially when in the chart of an Aries or Aries rising, we combine that with Jupiter, which you've got. So another image of room to expand, room to explore, room to experiment, room to grow, all properties of Leo, fifth, Jupiter. Juno is in there. And Juno's an asteroid. Juno's an important asteroid that has, over the years, taught me what she is about. Now, with Juno, there are two main sides of Juno. One side of Juno is the struggle to express your emotional needs. Now, when we put that kind of complex of issues in the fifth house as a child, is saying, first of all, recover, retrieve, revisit elements of your childhood, in particular, those that involved creative play. And work through some of your challenges and frustrations of expressing yourself through creative play, which may very well have been compromised, as they are in many people as a child. Given that you were a child of very high energy, kind of passionate intensity, it's possible that you made those silly grown-ups nervous, and moreover may have feared that you made those silly grown-ups nervous and therefore sought to conceal, perhaps for the sake of protecting them, or perhaps for the sake of protecting your own ability to survive in their environment, whatever it might have been. Check that out and see what you can recover. The other side of Juno, which I'm so happy to have encountered, and it was the chart of Mario Cuomo that really demonstrated for me this quality of Juno that Martha Lang Westcott has spoken of many times, and I could never quite tap into it except for some clues in my own chart. But that is the passion for justice, in particular for social justice. And so there is a hint here that you may involve yourself in some passionate, creative activity directed at social justice. It is the kind of thing that is a little bit less like the March at Selma and a little bit more like the giant puppets at a protest that make the protest fun and entertaining. So it is the craving for social justice of the playful and creative side, the have fun standing up for what is right and what is true, but moreover to remember that you are in a very meaningful relationship with what to you is right and true, that relationship being hinted by Juno. In a sense, you're married to your idea of what is the right thing happening. And the combination of Juno and Jupiter divine consorts, by the way, in the fifth house, is saying, yes, play with this one. Experiment with this one. Now, while that's happening, it is worth dropping into the discussion good old Mr. Pluto, who is now exactly halfway through its journey through Capricorn, an important house in your chart. Capricorn, in the chart of an Aries, is an angular house. The angular houses are the ones that are exactly opposite and or exactly at right angles. So in astrology, we call that the seventh house. That's the opposite. And the fourth and the tenth, which are at right angles. So Pluto is at the midpoint of Capricorn. Therefore, you could say that it is at the exactly perfect right angle point in the charts of all cardinal sign people. And for Aries, it is in your house of power. By power, I mean corporate power, presidential power, executive power, and also your relationship to all of these things, be it your boss, it might be something parental. But really what we're talking about with Capricorn in your chart, and in particular Pluto in Capricorn, is your relationship to your own impulse to shape the structure of the world around you, to challenge the power structure of the world around you. And I think most significantly, an issue I've been tracking for a long time with Aries, embracing the notion that either you have an impact, or that the impact that has been exerted on the world has made space for you to exist in kind of a high up way, a meaningful way, where you are able not just to assert authority, but to exist in a world that is changing, and to find your place amidst that change and express your drive to make changes and to use the room that's been made by Pluto. Again, another image of space being cleared by Pluto in Capricorn to extend your experiment to somewhere in the corporate or political sphere. And to note that this has been going on for a while, sometimes in small ways, sometimes in large ways. It may have initially manifested as a kind of having to deal with the chaos of the corporate world, quite possibly back around 8 or 9. That is to say 2008 or 9, the first year that Pluto was in Capricorn. And I would remind you how much has changed since then. A lot has changed. In many ways, everything has changed since then. And we are seeing a lot of dinosaurs of the corporate and political nature variously thrash around and attempt to exert their power, and in some ways to concentrate their power in a very destructive way. But what you have, because of where this thing aligns with your chart, is the ability, which you might say on one, from one viewpoint, to stand up to that concentration of power, or to concentrate some of your own power and do something with it. or to participate in some way, hopefully by your definition, righteous and true to your values, as the activity in Taurus is insisting. So the message is that you can participate all you want, in any way you want, as long as you are true to your own values. Now, what those values are is not necessarily that simple, and it is an experiment. And given how much you're expanding, growing, changing, and being encouraged to experiment, I would encourage you to experiment with your values in a bold way that challenges you. And as it works out, there is quite a bit going on centered around that aspect of your life known as your spiritual life. Now, spirituality is often presented as a facet of life. I think it's somewhat hilariously advertised as that, because if this concept that spirituality itself is describing is even vaguely true, then it must be all-encompassing. It can't just be one facet. You can't say that God is bigger than everything, contains everything, all the intelligence, the entire universe, and we're all made of God, and God's made of us, and it's infinite and eternal, but it's only one little part of things. That doesn't make any sense. But what does make sense is that you need to figure out where you stand personally, I think, with what you were told was true in the past and are now on a kind of a quest to prove or disprove, to establish the veracity of that or not. And so if you are in some kind of crisis of faith, if religion has suddenly become a theme for you, if you have, for example, decided that you are actually kind of carrying around some religious ideas that you're not so sure you approve of or agree with or think make any sense at all, or you're feeling under the thumb of some religious authority in some way, you are right on time. And my take on Saturn, which is what I'm talking about, through a sign, is that it is clearing a space for you to establish your own beliefs. And where Saturn is concerned, it is doing so with what you might think of as a tangible commitment. There's been so much going on in Sagittarius over the past maybe 10 or 15 years, and especially concentrated in the past 5 to 10 years, quite a bit of which is still going on now. And I'm talking about newly discovered minor planets that are out by Pluto or centaurs in long orbits, 100-year, 50-year kind of orbits, not asteroids, things that are more of long period and describe deeper processes, because typically the longer the orbit, the deeper the process. The deeper into space something goes, the deeper into yourself it goes. So the concept of consciousness is kind of inside out by astrology. There's been so much there that it's impossible that you have not been confronted by the need to really explore what you believe is possible and to make some contact with that thing, entity that you think might be there, whether that entity is God or the Holy Spirit or your higher self or however you choose to view that, however it kind of manifests for you. But what Saturn's presence has done is to structure the process. Saturn's presence has given you the ability to refine specific questions, to set the terms of the discussion in such a way that you can understand them. And it may very well be that the process has kind of inverted into a questioning process, and a process of not just experimenting with what is possible, but challenging what you suspect is wrong. All the better to make room for what you think might be true. So this is a real thing. And what is the most interesting about Saturn's movement is that it is at the end of the year and then through 16 going to square Neptune in Pisces. And so that is a moment of extended moment of warming up now, getting real about your search through your belief systems, like the kind of libraries of belief and things that were told to you as a young person, and the comic book of religion that's been inflicted on you, and the beliefs of grandparents and other ancestors who were not all enlightened people. And making up your own mind based on, more than anything, your own experience. Now, here's an interesting connection back to Jupiter, because this whole quest, a good keyword for Sagittarius, by the way, in your ninth house of religion, is also symbolized by Jupiter. Jupiter also rules Sagittarius. Now, if you remember in the previous section, we talked about Jupiter being a kind of manifestation of your 12th house, of your imagination, of your dreams, of your eroticism, of your creativity, of your sexual passion in the fifth, an experiment. But if you think of your religious quest, your spiritual quest, also as a creative process, as a self-creative process, you will move some of that pressure off of Saturn, that serious energy of Saturn. You will be able to siphon some of that energy off and bring it into a space of experimentation where real spiritual growth is actually possible, where it's no longer a thing of like, which book do I believe, or which, you know, parents' religion is the one that's right for me, or what were the incorrect teachings of that religion, what were the correct teachings of that? All very serious. If you funnel this into creative process, into an artistic experiment, a bold, fun experiment, that's kind of cool. And it is likely to fuse with, become one with, alchemically, the Pisces process. So Pisces, your 12th house, also representing a form of spirituality, but it is deeply personal, requires no proof. It's easy to deny all 12th house factors versus what often substitutes for that. Sagittarius with Saturn in it. It's kind of like what Jung said about most religion is a substitute for religious experience. And so ninth house Saturn is questioning religion, and 12th house Pisces is kind of infusing you on every level with the direct experience of your soul. And they join together in the fifth house, where you express something initially to yourself. That's what the art studio is, that is bold and creative and beautiful and daring and ultimately an experiment. I love when charts make sense. I hope this makes sense to you. A bold experiment. Everything comes back to that. with that rudder that will never fail you of be true to yourself. And really, if we're talking about Sun conjunct Uranus in Aries, kind of fucking hot, let yourself be who you are. Sounds so easy. All right. But I think you know what I mean. All right. Let's call this a section. And I will return in the morning. I like to sleep on the first two sections and let all of your astrology, my interpretation of your astrology, kind of brew around my 12th house overnight while I make music or pastels or have a bong hit, something like that. Go to bed, dream, sleep, wake up, and do astrology afterthoughts and flip some tarot cards by a kind of a 12th house genius, Dr. James Wanless. Doctor, by the way, of like political science and history. And in the form of the Voyager tarot deck. All right. A pleasure, as ever and always. I'll catch you in a digital instant, which means the morning of the 7th of April. Good Lord willing, have an awesome night. And bye for now.